The Book of Ruth. In the days when there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes, a famine came to the land. And a certain man from Bethlehem in Judah went with his wife and his two sons to live in the land of Moab. The man was called Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Not long after they had settled in Moab, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. These married Moabite women. One was named Orpah, the other Ruth. But some 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so Naomi was bereft of her two sons, as well as her husband. Then she prepared to return to her homeland, taking Ruth and Orpah with her, for she had heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. As they were setting out on the journey, Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord be kind to you as you have been to those who have died, and to me. So may the Lord grant you, each of you, that you find rest in another happy marriage." Then she kissed them. But they began to weep aloud and said to her, "No, we will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "You must return, my daughters. Why come with me? Have I any more sons in my womb to make husbands for you? I am too old now to marry again. But even if there were still hope for me, were I to marry and conceive this very night and bear sons, would you be prepared to wait till they were grown? Would you refuse to marry until then? No, no, of course not. It breaks my heart, my daughters, to think of you enduring still more sorrow for my sake. For the hand of the Lord has already been raised against me." And once more they started to weep aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and went back to her people. But Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, "Look, Orpah has gone back to her people and to her gods. You must return too. Follow your sister." But Ruth answered, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you dwell, I will dwell. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord bring a curse upon me if anything but death separates you and me." When she saw how determined Ruth was to stay with her, Naomi said no more, and together they continued their journey, reaching Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Their arrival there set the whole town astir, and the people said, "Can this really be Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, which means my fair one. Call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Filled full I departed. God brings me back empty of love. Why call me Naomi now, a mocking name? Since God has made me bitter, call me Mara. For the hand of the Lord has already been raised against me." Now at this time the harvest was just getting underway, and it was by law the right of the poor to glean what was dropped or missed by the reapers. So next day Ruth went out to glean in the fields around Bethlehem. And as it happened, she came to the farm of a man named Boaz, who was very highly regarded by the people. Unknown to Ruth, he was also her kinsman, through her late father-in-law Elimelech. When Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you," They answered him, "May the Lord bless you." Boaz asked one of the reapers, "Who is that young woman?" "She's the young foreigner who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab," he replied. "She came early this morning, asking to be allowed to glean after the reapers, and has not rested." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in anyone else's field. Stay here and follow my reapers, for you are welcome to glean all that you can. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what has been provided for the reapers." Ruth bowed before him. "Why have I found favour in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered her, "I have heard about all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your mother and father in the land where you were born and came among a people you did not know. May your reward be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favour in your eyes, my lord, for you have put me at ease by speaking kindly to me, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come and have some of this bread, and dip your piece in the wine." So she sat beside him, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied, and had some left over. When the afternoon's work began, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her glean even among the sheaves themselves, and do not molest her. See that you purposely drop some grain from the bundles for her to pick up." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it came to about an ephah of barley. And taking it with her, she went back into the town and showed Naomi what she had gleaned, and gave her some food she'd saved from her lunch. Then Naomi asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where have you been working? God bless the one who has taken so much notice of you." So Ruth told her mother-in-law, "The name of the man in whose field I have been gleaning today is Boaz." Naomi is amazed. "May he be blessed by the Lord, who has not withheld his kindness, for this man is our kinsman. He is close enough to us that he is able to redeem us. I was wrong. God's ways not bitter. Now I know his kindness." So Ruth accepted the invitation Boaz had given her to glean in his fields for the rest of the harvest, enjoying his generosity and protection. Then, when the harvest was nearly over, Naomi said, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that all may be well with you? And is not our relationship with Boaz close enough to give him the right to redeem you? Now tonight he will be winnowing the barley at the threshing floor. Come, Ruth, wash and anoint yourself, put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known to him until he has finished eating and drinking. Take careful note of where he goes to settle down to sleep, and follow him there. Then, when he is asleep, go and uncover his feet and lie there yourself. And when he wakes, he will tell you what you shall do." So Ruth went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law told her. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in a happy mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then Ruth came quietly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there was a woman lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over me, because you are my nearest kinsman." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This act of devotion is greater than what you did before, for you have not sought to marry one of the younger men, whether rich or poor. My daughter, have no fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for the whole town knows that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a near relative, but there is another man more closely related than I. Stay here tonight, and then in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, well, let him redeem you. But if he will not perform for you the duty of a kinsman, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down till morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, and they rose before the hour when one man can recognize another. For Boaz said, "It must not be known that you came to the threshing floor." When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her. "He gave me all this barley and said, 'Don't go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Naomi said, "Wait patiently, my daughter. Boaz will not rest until he settles the matter today." That very morning, Boaz went to the city gate and sat down. Soon the near kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came along. Boaz greeted him by name and said, "Come here and sit down." He also called 10 of the town elders, and they sat down. Then Boaz said to the near relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is offering for sale the piece of land which belonged to our relative Elimelech, and I thought I would lay the matter before you, suggesting that you buy it in the presence of these men who sit here and of the elders of my people. If you will buy it and so keep it in the possession of the family, do so. But if not, then tell me so that I may know, for you have first right to buy it, and I am next to you." He said, "I will buy it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field for Naomi, you must also marry Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, in order to preserve the name of the dead in connection with his inheritance." The near relative said, "I cannot buy it for myself without spoiling my own inheritance. You take my right of buying it as a relative, because I cannot do so." He had wanted to acquire Elimelech's estate, but when he realized that by redeeming the property, he would incur legal obligation to marry Ruth and to provide for Naomi, he quickly lost interest. For he did not love Ruth, and was unwilling to sacrifice any of his income to make provision for her and her mother-in-law. Now this used to be the custom in Israel: to make valid anything relating to a matter of redemption or exchange, a man drew off his sandal and gave it to the other man. And this was the way contracts were attested in Israel. So when the near relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," Boaz drew off the man's sandal. Then Boaz made his announcement, "People of Bethlehem, you are witnesses today that I have bought from Naomi all that was Elimelech's. Moreover, I now take Ruth the Moabite to be my wife." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and gave birth to a son. Then the people of Bethlehem said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not been harsh to you nor abandoned you, for he had planned all along to provide a redeemer. So may this child become famous in Israel. May he be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age." So they named the boy Obed, and he became the grandfather of David, king of Israel. And of his line there was born one day in the same city the Redeemer of all God's people, the King of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ.